The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first, that press conference held jointly by the British Prime Minister and the US President yesterday, they glossed over their disagreement on recognising a Palestinian state, which was apparently just one of the only few things that they did not agree on. For more on this, Enda Brady, International TV News Anchor at TRT World. Enda, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Good to speak to you again.
Now, we were savouring the prospect of lots of banana skins and lots of red faces, embarrassment and all of that. None of it actually happened yesterday.
I think you could probably hear the collective sigh of relief coming out of Downing Street all the way over in beautiful Westport this morning. They're very, very relieved in London. This passed off without incident. There were no fireworks. Everyone with sharpened pens and cameras at the ready, expecting Trump to launch into what he calls the weave, you know, as he weaves between one topic and another, and big rolling long news conferences that we've seen time and again in America. It simply didn't happen. It was, I would say it was quite a bland news conference all up, just one or two little newsworthy bits.
Now, was it the way it was run that didn't give the journalists, particularly the UK-based journalists, the chance to have a go?
Yeah, precisely that. So they split it into two. There was the big announcement to begin with, the money, the investment, and basically everything the UK government has been, you know, waiting and waiting for. And there is a lot of money coming, billions and billions of dollars going to be invested into tech in the UK. They call it the tech prosperity deal. They had that branding everywhere. So on the face of it, that is a big win for Keir Starmer and his government as they try to get growth in the economy. And then the way they split the following was business leaders got to ask some very soft soap questions of Trump. And then afterwards, there was the actual media conference with the two leaders standing together. And I think probably the trickiest questions came from Beth Rigby, my former colleague at Sky News. Beth is very, very good at landing the difficult questions. But they kind of bounced off Trump and Starmer. I mean, the whole Mandelson issue, migration, there was no standout headline, really.
So the name of Peter Mandelson, it did come up, I presume.
Oh, it did, yes. So Beth Rigby asked that question about Mandelson. So he's the former UK ambassador to America who got sacked last week over his long-standing friendship with Jeffrey Epstein and some pretty squalid, crawling emails to him after his conviction in 2005. Now, when the question was asked about Peter Mandelson, Trump stood there and said, "I don't know him." That was how he answered the question. Now, the media here have gone back through pictures. You've got Mandelson in the Oval Office standing beside Trump as he signs the UK-US trade deal. Clearly, he does know him and he knows him very, very well. Mandelson told the story previously that when he walked into the Oval Office first, Trump and Mandelson's never want to shy away from a compliment. He has a huge ego. Trump apparently, according to Mandelson, said, "My God, aren't you a handsome fellow?" That was what Trump said to Mandelson. So yesterday, Trump stood there and brazenly said, "I don't know him."
Any mention at all of Farage?
No, that was not really on the agenda whatsoever. And I think that was the big banana skin for Keir Starmer would be that a journalist would say, "Oh, Mr. President, we know you love polls. Have you looked at the polling in the UK?" Didn't come up. Now, we don't know if there was any communication privately between the two men. They are friends. I think an indication of how the UK world of politics has travelled in the last few years. When Trump first came to power, Nigel Farage's great ambition was that he would be made ambassador to Washington, D.C. And here we are, Trump 2.0. Nigel Farage would absolutely not be taking that job now. He has his eyes on number 10 Downing Street in 4 years' time.
Now, what about Palestine? Because there is definitely an area of disagreement there. The recognition by the UK in the coming days of a state of Palestine, but a little bit of a crumb of comfort thrown at Trump as well on this one.
Yeah, so look, they are not going to make any announcement while he was on UK soil. It is the one key area of policy where they do disagree. But again, it didn't blow up into anything. There was no put downs of Starmer. I think, look, I think there's clearly been a lot of discussion behind the scenes. Starmer's administration must have been nervous, and I think the diplomats have done their work, and it has succeeded this week, that there has been no calling out of Starmer, there has been no criticism of the UK government and its policy. Palestine will be recognised, from what I'm hearing, there will be an announcement from Starmer tomorrow. So they're giving it a respectful 24 hours. Trump can go back to America. Something will happen in America, Jimmy Kimmel or something else. You know, there's always a story following Trump, and Starmer will be able to crack on tomorrow and announce that the UK is going to recognise Palestine. And it's a big week next week because UN General Assembly in New York, you will see France, Canada, Australia and the UK do the same.
Now, Starmer has indicated, of course, that Hamas could play no future part in any future Palestinian state. So that was the crumb of comfort, really, thrown at Donald Trump. On migration, encouraging Starmer, get the troops out, sort it out with the military.
Yeah, there was a couple of lines from Trump on this, and it's obviously the story of our times in the UK. It continues to dominate the front pages now that Trump has gone. But he said that migration is ruining your country. I mean, that was the key kind of headline yesterday, which a lot of the right wing and people that are interested in that will pick up and run with. And then he did say that if it was him, he would deploy the military. Now, Starmer's never going to do that. You're not going to see the Royal Navy. If the Royal Navy are in the channel, they are monitoring Russian shipping, Russian vessels, anything Russian going through it, or Chinese. You're not going to see the Royal Navy ramming dinghies, because they know what will happen. The dinghies are flimsy and people will drown. So Trump has his way of doing things. I think one bit of footage really on that issue this week that came out was from one of France's overseas territories, showing a French naval speedboat basically harassing and ramming a migrant dinghy. And a lot of people are making the point, well, hang on, the French are quite happy to do that in their territorial waters. Why can't the UK?
And I suppose the other headline, if it is a genuine headline, because Trump talks about Putin and says he this, that and the other, he threatens him with all sorts of things and then does nothing. But the chat about Ukraine indicating, I'm so disappointed in Vladimir, my friend, da, da, da.
Yes. Look, he keeps saying the war would never have happened. I think categorically that war was going to happen. Putin was going to go into Ukraine come what may, regardless of who was in the White House. Trump said from day one he would end the war within 24 hours if he became president. That's not going to happen. But I do think there is something afoot with the Russians, because he was very reluctant to criticise Putin yesterday in the news conference. He just said, I'm disappointed in him. That was it. I've got a major interview next week with a key figure in the Russian administration, and they reached out to me. So I'm just curious as to why they're suddenly wanting to talk. I think there's something big coming down the line. I don't know if it's a ceasefire, temporary ceasefire, but Trump was very reluctant to put the boot into Putin yesterday.
Now, finally, we should talk about freedom of speech, because we know J.D. Vance was critical of Europe in general about the attitude to freedom of speech. Now, it's the kettle calling the pot black if you think of what's going on in the United States, even though they have their First Amendment. But we saw the sacking of Stephen Colbert and then the suspension of Jimmy Kimmel, which is probably going to amount to a sacking. Did he address any of that yesterday, the president?
No, there was no mention. He steered clear of anything that was going to further fan the flames. But it's fascinating what you say, that, you know, for a president who was launching into the UK and Vance saying that the freedom of speech issues in the UK and they're putting people in prison for Facebook posts. The other night, the night he arrived on Tuesday, four guys were projecting images of Trump and Epstein onto the walls of Windsor Castle. So freedom of speech is alive and well, I would say, in England. And yes, people were arrested for malicious communications on the night in question. But make no mistake, nobody's had a TV show cancelled here this week because of one comment.
All right, Enda, look, thank you very much for that update. That's Enda Brady, a news anchor with TRT World. But now it's time.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.